Thank you, Lord. You know, one of the things that Jesus made new when He came to the planet was everyone's perspective of the Messiah. Everyone sort of thought the Messiah would look a certain way, and they all thought He would have a certain characteristic about Him and care about the law in a certain way, and they all thought something specific. And He showed up and everything became new. Everyone looked at Him and said, "That doesn't look quite like I planned it to look. That's not the exact Messiah that I thought I'd see when He showed up on this planet." And while we were worshiping, we're singing a song, "You are making all things new, Your love never ending, you know, Your grace is unfailing." We hear these words and I can't help but smile this morning. Sometimes we sing these songs and we do it with tapping our foot like this in a kind of a somber moment. But all of a sudden I had a picture of Jesus. I don't know if I'm quite willing to call it prophetic or not, but I had a picture of Jesus. I went to Barber's Hole last week. It's this little spa. There's some cheering about Barber's Hole, but when I said Jesus, there was nothing. But anyways, there's this river something, Barber's Hole, and I jumped off this ledge and landed into the water, and I'm just trying to get to know Courtney a bit. And all of a sudden, I had a picture of Jesus jumping off that ledge with His robe, stereotypical Jesus. I pictured the Jesus robed and everything and running out and jumping off. And everyone would have looked at Jesus and said, "Well, that's new. That's new. Never seen that before. And I've never seen that Jesus before." And I sort of think maybe today Jesus would want to allow you to see Him in a new way. In a way that might inspire you to live a little bit differently. In a way that you realize that He cares about you as a human, not in just some heavenly space, but here as a human, that He cares about you. That here in your weakness, that He cares about you. That here, there at Barber's Hole, He cares about you. That in the most challenging times and in the greatest times, in the winter times and in the summer times. Sometimes summer, we get so distracted with so many things. There's probably people here with their bathing suits on right now. As soon as church ends, they're going to go and get some swimming in. But sometimes summer switches and Jesus says, "Hey, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. When you go to Miracle Beach, I'm with you there. When you go swimming, I'm with you there. When you're having fun on holidays, I'm with you there. I want to be on your holidays. I want to be with you wherever you go. I don't want to keep you tied to something that bores you and restricts you. But instead, I want you to know freedom and life. I want you to know freedom and life. And in that, when you see me in a new way, I will make all things new in you." Lord, thank you that you make all things new. Sometimes the thing that we need to be new more than anything else is our perspective of you. Lord, you are amazing. You're amazing. You're not like a lot of us pastors. A lot of us pastors think that we need to get everyone into church and then just keep them there and then we'll live a Christian life. But Lord, you're jumping off Barber's Hole rocks. You're loving life with us. You're with us in all things that we do. You're beside us in all of the challenges that we face. You're with us when we're facing the greatest challenge and greatest temptation. You said you will never leave us nor forsake us, God. Let your church believe it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the life that you give us. Jesus, I pray that today would be a life-giving time to our grads and to every person in this room. That we would leave church feeling filled up, knowing Jesus is making all things new in me. Here and now. Thank you, Lord, that you do it. We love you, and we just expect to be changed by you today, Lord. We need to change, probably. In your name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Go ahead and give a high five or a handshake. Do something different. You know, maybe it's an elbow. I have a secret handshake with someone. It's a cobra. Okay? Where's Alexa? Alexa? No. Yeah, welcome to church. Welcome to church. Alexa, can I share our secret handshake? Okay, this is mine and Alexa's secret handshake that we just started last week. We were doing elbows, and then we turned it into this. It's called the Cobra, and you hit your elbow and your hand at the same time. So next week, if there's someone new in church sitting beside you and you pull out the Cobra, they're going to say, "That's different," and you say, "He's making all things new." Okay? That's how it works here in church. He's making all things new, including Cobra handshakes. We'll do it. We'll be happy about it. Well, we're going to go ahead and take an offering. Woo! Hey, I think we're building a little bit of momentum behind there. Summertime can be distracting and hard, and we can forget that we decided at one point to be faithful to God because He's so faithful to us. So, usher, you can come on forward. We're going to go ahead and be faithful to God. This place and everything that we do in this city happens because you are faithful and you give to the Lord and to the work of this church. We're trying to reach further. We're trying to do more. And we just believe God's going to do great things as we're faithful to give to Him as He's been so faithful to us. Lord, multiply it. Do great things. Lord, I know that when a young man came to you with just a couple fish and some bread, you did incredible things. You fed thousands of people. Lord, as this church is faithful to give you what they have, I pray that you would do incredible and mighty works in this city that we could have never done with that same amount. Lord, feed the multitudes. Reach the multitudes. Love them, Lord. Thank you so much for what you do. Amen. Hey, weren't announcements good today, too? I almost thought Pastor George was going to call a keyboardist up and offer an altar call. He was so passionate. I'm just kidding, but that was awesome. Yeah, we have a great team, and grads, we just want to honor you. Our team has been thinking about you a lot right now, and today I'm going to actually just talk to the grads. But in talking to the grads, I hope that everyone gets to hear something. But I love when young people get to start to see the dreams that God has for them, start to know the passion that they can live with. And so I want to take, this is just a day that we want to honor our grads, and we call ourselves a family often. And so when we get to, celebrate anyone in here, it's a great thing. So we're going to celebrate the grads, and I hope that you can feel just like that works for you, like you're excited with them too, that you can see the people. These people you need to pray for a lot. I don't know if you remember graduation or not, but when you graduate, the next year is really wild. It's really weird because up until that point, someone has directed the entirety of your life. And as soon as you step out, you're sort of like, now it's my choice. What do I do? Where do I go? What's the right decision? And so they need your prayer. They definitely need your prayer. When I was in grade 12, I ran to be the valedictorian. And I guess the grads in my school didn't like my approach. I did a rap to Mario Brothers' theme song. I don't know why I've been runner-up since that day. I didn't make the cut. I wasn't the valedictorian, but the rap was really good. Okay, my friend and I, we decided we were going to do a rap to do the pitch to the valedictorian, to the class to become the valedictorians. And we got up, we did our rap at everyone, we're not much of performers at that time, and we're sort of like doing our moves like this. And then the person who actually won valedictorian came and read out of a book, and they beat us. So that hurt. But since then, I've had the opportunity to speak to grads year after year after year after year, which is, so I laugh at that valedictorian every day. I'm just kidding. So I get an opportunity to speak to grads and celebrate them all the time. And grads, we're honored to get to walk with you in this. We'll follow your journeys. We'll get to follow you along your way now. Who knows what type of impact you're going to make on this world, but I just want to call you to make an impact on this world, to not do nothing, but to do something with your life. God has given you great gifts, and I know some of you. I don't know all of you as well as others, but when God has placed a gift in your life and He's put it in everyone's life, allow it to shape your decisions and allow it to shape who you become and who you reach out to and who you surround yourself with. And we're going to watch you. We're going to follow you as you go. And we're excited. We're excited for that. They showed you what this looks like. This was a print that we gave them. Arrows, a lot of the church has heard about this. We've given something to do with arrows to our grads for years because we are sending them out. There was a prophecy a long while back in this church saying, you are going to be a church that sends people to all edges of this earth, that sends people to all over the world, and they will go for God, and they will make a difference for Jesus Christ. And so we still believe that. We still believe that anyone who comes to this church, we're believing that God has a purpose and a plan for their life to send them out and do something great in the world. Or maybe right here. or maybe in the white spot down the road, or maybe, you know, maybe it's right here in the valley. Wherever it is, we believe that God's got a plan. The other thing that's on here is one of my very favorite passages. If you know me, you know that I like to speak about Joshua quite a lot. And last week I spoke about Joshua, and this week I'm going to again. Be strong and courageous is what this says. Be strong and courageous. I've heard that message from God a lot in my life. Be strong and courageous. I think probably I've heard it so much because I'm usually not strong and courageous. It's funny how God often speaks to us over and over and over because we need to be reminded of something that we're not. Hey, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And okay, I will. But I'm not going to go there because that would require courage. You know, he said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. One of the ways in my life that I was least strong and courageous is my calling to be a pastor. I did not want to be a pastor with almost all of my heart. When I was young, there were people who came into my life and said, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to be in full-time ministry. You're going to be doing it. You're going to be living that out. That is going to be the calling of your life. And I came up in a family that some of my family was Christian and some wasn't. And I remember thinking, it doesn't make sense because some people are not going to like that decision to become a pastor. If I step into full-time ministry, some people won't agree with that. Some people won't think that's a good idea, and I don't want them to. Why don't I just do a safer thing? I was going to be a teacher. Now, some of you have been called to be teachers, so it's not always the safer thing. My wife is one of those. But I planned on being a teacher, and I was going to live that. My dad was a teacher. My grandma was a teacher. Why don't I just do that? Dad will be happy. Grandma will be happy. Everything will be good. I'll know how much money I'm going to make, because I don't know if you know this, not all pastors know how much money they're going to make. And it's not always the most prestigious of positions in life. But I had all of these fears, thinking, I don't know if I want to be sort of so out there as a public figure. I don't know if I want all of those things. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't want all of those things. And so I say this to many people, my entire degree, my English degree from the University of Victoria was me running from the calling God had on my life. Now, that's a bit of a vulnerable moment. Some of you are like, what? He doesn't want to be our pastor? But I've told you enough. I've told you many weeks in a row now that I love being here and I love being the pastor of this church. So eventually I submitted. I said, God, you just tell me what to do and I'll do it. He opened the door and I said, okay, if this is what you want me to walk through, I'll walk through it. It's not the safest bet. It didn't feel like the smartest bet to me. It didn't feel like the wisest plan for me. But it was the calling of God in my life. And so I had to be strong and courageous. I had to step into it and say, okay, I'll just go and do it. Joshua, this is why I love him, he needed to be told to be strong and courageous over and over and over again. Moses said it to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:6. Moses was about to die. He had lived his life. I actually got to share this. Does anyone know the Boomers bike ride that happens in the valley? Just yesterday, I got to share, there's a soldier that died a long time ago in the valley, and there's all these bikers that cycle to Victoria to honor him, and they all have pictures of fallen soldiers on their bikes. It's pretty neat. I got to spend some time with them, share from Scripture, pray for them, and send them off yesterday. It was a pretty special time. I talked to them about this verse, because Moses is here handing over to Joshua his dreams. His plans, he says, Joshua, God wanted me to get to the promised land. He had an intention for me to get there. He wanted me to go into this amazing, incredible promise that he had for me. I was supposed to walk into it, Joshua. But I was afraid. I was afraid back then. There was this situation with a rock where he hit a rock with a stick instead of speaking to it. He disobeyed God because he didn't want to look foolish in front of his people. There was a moment when they went and saw the promised land. He sent 12 spies, and 12 spies checked out the land. 10 came back and said, the land is great, the people are scary, and since it's scary, let's not go. And 2 people came back, Joshua and Caleb came back and said, the land is great, the people are scary, our God is big, let's go. And so Moses knew these things, and Moses decided, we're not going to go. They wandered around in the desert. Moses was afraid. And so on Moses' deathbed, the most important thing that he could tell to Joshua is this: be strong and courageous, Joshua. Because there's a calling of God in your life, but just because there's a calling of God in your life doesn't mean it's always going to seem so easy. Doesn't mean it's going to seem like, okay, the most money and the best life and the most friends and the greatest popularity are all going to come within the calling of God. He says, no, but God will be with you. Here's what he says in Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. But there was a them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Where will it be, grads? Where will that be? Then God says to Joshua himself, now Moses is dead, and God starts speaking to Joshua clearly in Joshua 1:6. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. He says, you are going to get there. And you sort of think if God says you will do this, then it must be easy, right? You will accomplish this in your life. Oh, no problem then. I'll sit back and let it happen to me. But he still says, you got to go and get it. You need to go and get it. Be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? I think this is the moment where God has said to Joshua over and over, hey, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And then he finds him cowering under a blanket somewhere. Like hiding under a camel or something. Like, I just, this is where I belong, and I just can't do what I'm supposed to do. I just can't do it. And God says, hey, didn't I tell you? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Then a little bit more time passes, and I think probably the Israelites are starting to recognize that Joshua is maybe not so sure about his leadership, even though Moses told him to be strong and courageous, and now God has said it three times to him. And the Israelites, his people, come up to him in Joshua 1:18 and said, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Well, those are pretty nice people to have around. Only, they say, be strong and courageous. But you have to be strong and courageous, Joshua. Because God's got a purpose and a plan and a destiny, a future for you. But you will not get there without being strong and courageous. You may have people around you, but you will not get there without being strong and courageous. You may feel like it's so clear in your mind, but you will not get there without being strong and courageous. If the dreams that are in your heart, grads, don't require strength and courage, I think you should keep asking for more dreams. I think you should keep saying, Lord, I think there's got to be a dream in there that's bigger and greater and more, because that would be too easy for me. Wouldn't that be a kind of cool prayer? And so I'm going to talk to you about the 10 keystones of a strong and courageous life. And we're going to get these printed out and we'll give them to you next week sometime. But the 10 keystones to a strong and courageous life. The first is make strong and courageous decisions. Some people think that they're going to get somewhere without ever deciding to get there. I'll just sort of let life happen and see what happens along the way. No matter what is promised to you, you have to go and get it. You have to decide, I'm going to step into it. I'm going to go after it. If I said, kids, you have an ice cream cone, it's all yours. If they don't come and decide to actually grab it from my hand, then they're not going to get the ice cream cone. Joshua had to make a decision at some point. God gave him the exact plan. You remember, I've talked about this. God said, hey, go step into the Jordan River and watch it split. And when you go into there, just walk across. It's going to be incredible. And so Joshua knew the exact plan, and it was way too specific to be like, he wasn't like, did I hear right or not? I'm not sure. Very specific. So he goes and he steps to the water. Without it, the sea doesn't split. The plan to walk around Jericho. Go ahead, walk around Jericho. Just 7 days in a row, around, like we talked about last week. He says, okay, I get the plan, but how about you just do it, God? No. Be strong and courageous. You get walking. You get walking. You have to decide. This is yours. You have to make a decision. Life just doesn't happen to us. What if David decided, just take on Goliath yourself, God. I know that you can. No, he said, I know you're strong enough, God, so I will. So I'll take hold of this. So I'll step into it. So he walks up to the king and says, I'm ready to take on Goliath because my God's powerful enough. It's easy for us to say, my God's powerful enough, so he'll take on this person or that person. But God says, no. You step into it. You decide to take the step. You decide to move towards the plan that God has for your life. Grads, walk into it. Decide to go after it. Make the decision. Second keystone to a strong and courageous life. Have strong and courageous friends around you. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. It doesn't say fools suffer harm. It says a companion of fools suffers harm. Why do you think that is? I would say it's probably because if God puts a call in your life and he starts to put some dreams and percolate something in your heart and you start to think about it, if you surround yourself with the right friends, you'll go and get it. But if you surround yourself with the wrong friends, they'll talk you out of that thing in your life. They'll keep you from it. They'll say, nah, don't worry about it. You don't need to do that. I'm reminded of a story in 2 Kings of a guy named Jehu. And this prophet comes up and dumps oil on his head and says, you're going to be the king. And this guy runs away. And Jehu walks out of the room and the people come to him and say, Jehu, what was that? Tell us, what was that guy? And he goes, oh, no. It was nothing. That guy was crazy. You know, don't listen to him. His friend said, no, you tell us. What did he say? He said, I was going to be the king. It's not a big deal. He just said, I was going to be the king. And they throw down their robes, get on the ground and say, long live the king. And so he says, okay, if you're with me, let's get going. Surround yourself with those friends. Just ask yourself, if I told my friends that God has a calling in my life, what would they say? If your friends say, that's crazy, you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should find some friends who would say, I'm with you. I'm behind you wherever you go. Think of Jonathan's armor bearer. Wherever you go, Jonathan, if you say we're going, we're going. I'm right behind you. If you're leading me into the worst place ever, I'm going with you because I believe that you're hearing from God and I believe that God's doing something in your life. I'll just walk with you, Jonathan. Wherever you say, I'm for you because I know that you're for God. Do you have those friends in your life? I came from a small town, smaller than this area. My city had 17,000 people in it. And I remember praying to God, God, would you give me one friend? Just one friend. I had lots of acquaintances. I knew a lot of people at school. But I always said, just give me one friend, God, that will stand with me, that will encourage me towards the things that you're encouraging me towards. So that we can walk together. Are they for you or are they against you? Are they for God's plan for your life or are they against it? Have strong and courageous friends. The third, go places that require strength and courage. There's a book that I got given on my grad, and probably many people in here got given it to them on their grad. Oh, the Places You'll Go. I don't know if you've heard of this book. It's just a book about, you know, it's a kid's book, but it's all about the places. It gets people's imagination going about, what could I accomplish? What could I do? What might it look like? What might my life look like? And it talks about all these things. And at graduation, often we think, the horizon is open. Where could I possibly go? And we all think that we will go somewhere great in our life and do something great in our life. But often when it actually comes down to doing those things, going to those places, we say, nah, never mind. That's a little bit scary. God may call you into a workplace that you didn't realize that you were going to have such an impact. He may call you to school and you're afraid of failure, but he says, no, we're going to walk through this and I'm going to help you succeed. He may call you to a different city. He may call you to a different country and say, you're going to go and be a missionary there. And today I was just reminded by a parent that we also need to pray for strength and courage for the parents in the room. As the kids feel the calling of God in their life, that's a scary thing for parents sometimes. Why is my kid doing that? Why are they pursuing this? Why are they chasing after that thing? That doesn't seem like the right thing to do. Or maybe it seems like the right thing to do, but I'm kind of scared. Lots of parents in here, I know this. I've worked with youth for a long time. Lots of youth, when they say, I just want to follow God's plan for my life, parents are sort of some of the people who say, well, let's have a look at this again. Let's consider that a little bit. Parents, I'm calling you too to be the strong and courageous parents who say the call of God in my kid's life is more important than anything else. And we're going to celebrate together in heaven the accomplishments that took place in these lives. Parents, you're part of that. That's going to be good. Number four, be strong and courageous in your convictions. Ephesians 5:10-11 says, "Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." Sometimes when we think of convictions, we think of all the things that we're not allowed to do. Think of all the things that your parents have told you. You know, don't, whatever your parents have talked to you about. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't do this and don't do that. And those things are good. Those are your convictions. You sort of know. It says, find out what pleases the Lord. Okay, do that. Find out what God is pleased by. And then don't do the things that mess that up. Sometimes you get all this freedom when you get out of high school, especially if you came from a Christian school. And now you step into this new place and say, wow, there's all of this new stuff that I should try to experience and see how it feels and try it on for myself. Don't give up who you are. Don't do things that you shouldn't do, that you know you shouldn't do. But the other thing that I really wanted to say about this is in that verse it says, find out what pleases the Lord and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. I really want you to also hear that you need to, though you shouldn't do things that you shouldn't do, you should also do the things that you should do. Sometimes our convictions just keep us from doing things, but I pray that your convictions would push you into doing greater things. You say, no, I'm not just called to be separate and protected from everything. I'm actually called to be a light in the darkness. I'm actually called to go forward. There's actually something for me out there. There's actually a mission field. There are a whole lot of people who need someone to love them in this world. There's a whole lot of people who need to be fed, who need to break free from addiction, that need to know life, that need to know relationship. There's a whole lot of people who need to just feel acceptance. And you're going to be the people who do that. Who else if not the Christians? We don't give that up to someone else. We're to be that people. We're to be the light in the darkness. Number five, let your dreams require strength and courage. Sometimes we dream just a little too small. We think, as long as I get a job and make some money, then I should be fine. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see that in the heroes. The people that we would call heroes, we don't see that. We don't write books on the people who said, oh, I'll just do whatever and see what happens. Sometimes God's going to put a calling in your life for something that looks kind of mundane. There are people in this room that I know that are doing incredible things in jobs that are sort of just mundane kind of jobs, not the type that we would write about. But don't dream that way. Dream for what God might do in your life and then let Him put you wherever He'd like to put you. Number six, be strong and courageous with money. Yikes. That means some of you are going to become rich. Be ridiculously generous. Some of you are going to have money. That means you've got power to make a difference in a lot of lives. Be crazy, ridiculous generous. Give so much away. Let people laugh at what you do. Think, I can't believe how much money they gave. And you say, I don't know, Jesus just asked me to be generous. You have it because you're meant to give it. You have money. If you're in here and you say, I just have lots of money, I guess I'm just supposed to be rich and comfortable in life. No, nothing wrong with being comfortable, nothing wrong with having lots of money, but God probably gives you money because He's also placed a generous nudge in your heart. Give in to that. Don't let money own you. Don't make any decisions because of money. Don't let your job, don't decide your job because, well, now I have money. Or don't decide your timing because now I have money. Or I don't have money so I can't do that. Or God is going to do something great. I know a story of a guy who went to an airport. I'm not endorsing this, but anyways. I know a story of a guy who went to an airport and he had a certain amount of money. He said, I'm going to go into the airport and whatever flight costs that money, I'm going to go and believe that God's called me to that place. You need a very specific word from God on this. And so he went into the airport, paid for this one-way flight, showed up, and there was someone waiting in the other airport with a sign with his name saying, God called me to take care of you. oh, sorry, I need to wait until I get the round trip. You know, I need to wait till I have the right amount of money because I'm not sure if that's the right place. I think I should go to this place. Money is, God has more money than any of you have. And He has more than any of you will ever make. And so don't limit yourself to what you can accomplish by what you have or what money you have or what you could make or if your skills aren't really the skills that usually make money. Just be generous. Just give money and let it not own you and watch how God gives you more. And lets it pour out through your life. Seventh, be strong and courageous in your prayers. I just want to encourage you, grads, pray for healing. Some of you have seen healing this year, seen incredible healings this year. Don't stop praying for that. You've probably also talked yourself out of that healing in some ways. Oh, maybe it wasn't really God. Maybe that was going to happen anyways. No, it was God. He heals and He does great and incredible things. But we're always afraid to pray for the miracles because we think, well, if it doesn't happen, what will that mean for my faith? Pray for it. Pray for healing. Believe that God would want to do incredible things, but also pray for courage. One of the reasons we don't pray for courage is because we're afraid that if we pray for courage, we're going to end up in a situation that we need courage. If I pray for that, all of a sudden God might put me somewhere and I'm going to need it. So I better just not pray for it. Say, God, I don't have courage, so don't put me in any situations where I'd need it, okay? That would be what I'd like. No, pray for courage. That's a big, bold prayer because all of a sudden you might find yourself in a place where you have to say, God, I prayed for it and now I really need it and I don't feel it yet, so hurry up and give me that courage. Pray for it. It was like we talked about a couple weeks ago in Acts when they prayed right after all of this persecution and they prayed, God, you see what's going on, you see what we're facing, you see what's coming against us, so give us courage. They didn't say, so take it away. Because they knew God was doing something incredible in their lives. They just said, give us courage. Let us walk into this. Pray bold prayers. Strong and courageous prayers. Number 8, obtain a strong and courageous humility. Some people think that's an oxymoron. Strong, courageous humility. One of the things that often happens in life is that we think we need to promote ourselves so that we can gain something. We think we need to push others down so that we can gain something. There's a lot of pressure in your life, and no matter what job you do, there's going to be a lot of pressure for you to self-promote so that if you would show yourself to be this really special person, maybe you'll make more money or you'll get a better job or you'll move forward faster, which is why it takes strength and courage to say, I'm not going to put anyone down to move forward. I'm not going to speak boldly about myself at all to move forward because I know that God is the one who promotes me and God is the one who gives me all that I need. The Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? 1 Corinthians 4:7. What gift do you have? What is it that you have that you didn't receive? God gave you everything that you're ever going to be good at. He gave it to you. And it's yours to give back to Him. But He'll let you decide that. The 9th one. Follow strong and courageous people. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Follow strong, courageous people. I know that I am who I am because I put myself behind people who are doing greater things. I still try to do that. There's many great people in this church that I try to line myself up behind. Say, as long as I'm starting to become a little bit more like them, there's probably something really good going on in my life. As long as I'm developing a little bit more like that person, there's probably something really special going on in my life. And so we get to pick who influences us in our life. I don't know if you know that, but we get to pick who's going to influence our life. Put the right people there. Let them be strong and courageous. Worship team, you can come on up. The 10th is, leave a strong and courageous legacy. 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example. We've already hit this verse. This is the third time I've spoken about this verse since I've been here. Maybe it's going to be a key verse for us, but set an example, it says. sometimes I get tired of youth saying, no one's teaching me the right way, so I'm not going to live the right way. God says to you, set an example. At what age do you decide that you're a leader? When along the way do you decide, now I probably have something to give? You have something to give from the very day you can speak. From the very day that you know why you've decided something, you have something to give. If you look at your life right now and say, there's no one really following me, and no one interested in me, start to make the investment. People love investment in them. Lots of people think they're going to become a leader because they say, well, there's going to be lots of people that follow me. But people will follow you when you invest in them. Jesus did that all the time. Why did so many people follow him? Because Jesus is walking around saying, you're healed, and I love you, and I'm having dinner with you. And they're all people who didn't get a whole lot in society usually. They're usually people who are saying, well, we don't really get this type of attention usually, and people don't usually treat us this way, and people don't usually say those things to us, and people usually don't spend time with us. So why are you investing in us? I don't know the answer, but we'll go after you. Wherever you go, we want to go. Grads, you have a leadership in you now. You have a legacy to leave, not just when you're 90, but right now. Who's coming behind you? Who are you growing up to become like you? To the whole church, I'd say, who are you growing up? Sometimes we get stuck in a way of that church is the pastor says good things to me, and once he says good things to me, I'll come back to church. But I want to encourage you, you have something in you. Jesus has met you and has come into your life. If you're a Christian in this room, it is your job. You have to give that away. You have to give something to the next. You have to have people in your life who are becoming more like you. The greatest killer to so many people's faith and to so many people, like lots of people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life or where I'm going or what's going on or why it's happening. I just don't know who I'm supposed to be. That always happens when someone says, I'm done investing in someone. I need someone to invest in me. I want to encourage you. Put yourself, like when you want someone to invest in you, put yourself right behind them. Serve them. Give them make their load lighter. Just get behind them and just say, wherever you're going, I'm going. And then invest in someone else. There's not enough of that. That's why we need strong and courageous humility, because there's not enough of that. You might not gain all that much by investing in someone else. Be strong and courageous. Don't fight for your gain. You invest in yourself and you might be able to keep that going for a while. Usually when we invest in ourselves, we get tired of investing and now we're stuck, not really moving forward at all, and we haven't invested in anyone else around us, and we start to look around at our life and say, what am I actually accomplishing here? But if you invest in others, then you get tired of investing and they come bring it back to you. Leave a legacy now. Leave a legacy now. I look to some of the young at hearts in this room. I'm so thankful for the legacy that you are will leave when you're gone, but that you've left all the way along. I got a chance to speak that to Ruth Fox on her birthday. It's not just about some time down the road we can leave a legacy. What about right now? Who right now at your workplace is being changed because of you? What remnant of you is starting to wash off on people? What portion of what you gain in here is falling onto other people around you? Who is becoming who they're supposed to be because you are being who you're supposed to be for them? God's got a plan for you, grads. He's got a plan. And He's got a plan for the rest of you. Some of you feel like the last time you heard this message was at grad. It's still true. As true as it ever was. God wants to use you. Jesus wants to use you. Jesus has put something in you. He's called it out of you. Some of you today say, I don't know what that looks like because I don't know Jesus. And I've come to church and I just thought I could come and leave. And you can. It's safe. You can come and leave and come again next week and leave again next week. It's okay. But for some of you, you're starting to say, I want that. I don't know what that is, but I want that. I want to have some purpose in my life, and I haven't heard that before. I haven't felt that before. That's Jesus. You just welcome him in and say, Lord, I want you in my life, and I want to follow you, and I want that plan for my life. Some of you are saying, I haven't been living this way. I haven't been living a strong and courageous way. Welcome to the club, first of all. And secondly, that's still Jesus. You pursue him, you will start to see some of this rising up in you. You'll have a grad renewal as Jesus renews your heart and makes you new. So if today you say, I need to give my life over to Jesus instead of the way I've been living because I want to know that purpose in my life, we're going to have a prayer team over here. Pastor Ken and Eunice and Keith and Pat will be over here afterwards and you can pray with them. If you say, I need to turn from putting all my hope somewhere else and hoping I'll have purpose somewhere else to saying, I need this purpose in Jesus, they'll be there to pray for you. And you just tell them, I'm ready to do that. Or if you say today, I just need to get back to the strong and courageous living, believing that God's actually got a purpose for me. Where I am, in my workplace, with whatever debt I already carry, with whatever brokenness I have in my relationships, where I am, God still says in the exact same way as He said it on grad, I have a plan and a purpose for you, and it's to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. He still has that plan. Lord, would you just do a mighty work in each heart today? That we would know that you've asked us, you've welcomed us, you've invited us into a life that will influence, a life that will make a difference, a thinking that will see the world transformed. Lord, for those who say, I don't know Jesus, but I want to today, I pray that they would find you. You would become so real to them as you already are in their hearts. Let us meet you in a new way today, Jesus. I pray for these grads. Let them never stop believing that they are to be strong and courageous and chase after all that you have for them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as they do it, more will follow behind them. I thank you for the flock that will come behind them. I thank you for the lives that they will protect and they will invest in and they will dream for, God. I thank you for those who will come after them that will see a greater picture of what this world could be and a greater picture of what their own potential is because of the investment of these grads. Jesus, I pray right now that they would not be consumers of Christianity, but they would be those who just give it out. And as they give it out, they would receive more from you. Jesus, we welcome you to do your work today. Thank you for this day in church. Thank you that we can come together. In your name we pray. Amen.